swallowed hard and let, you can go see the dates here, Poland become a part of NATO and somebody else. But not Ukraine. Russia's drawn a line in the sand. You aren't doing this. Would we want them, a major power, nuclear, etc. power, doing that next door to us? In Mexico? Or whatever? I don't think so. Interesting. Very interesting times. And so all this push and push and push and push and push with regard to the bear is going to backfire in the United States with our total annihilation. But if the rapture occurs this year, we still got 2 or 3 years out from that before the event occurs after we're raptured. Just thought I'd throw that in. I have another one too, since I sidetracked. Seems that I am in the last days sometimes, but that's the way it goes. I'm starting to learn to live with it. I read an article giving details about what Russia has in their nuclear arsenal compared to what we have. They're way ahead of us, tonnage and everything else. And a lot, most Americans think, oh, we're better. No. We've been running around doing all this other stuff, and Russia's been building up its military forces big time. And God's greased their skids. But I had a verse for you anyway. All the weapons on the earth, whoever has them, are God's. Everything on the earth is His. Whatever you own, whatever I own, it's His, and He can do with it as He chooses to. He can increase it, He can decrease it, He can remove it, He can do whatever He wants to do. With everybody on the earth is His, and all it contains, there's a psalm that says that. It's His. Why? Because He's the Creator. That's why. And He has ultimate say-so over it. And who's going to drag Him into court? Who's going to indict Him? It's a joke. That's in the Bible too. But in regard to the destruction of America, we have Jeremiah 50:25. The Lord has opened His armory. I don't care what nation it is that has armaments. It's His armory. They say it's theirs, and it is, but ultimately it is His, and none of this stuff will be used to in any way bring any harm or detriment to the plan of God. Jesus Christ, one of His rewards for being obedient to death, and that He's been given as the God-man authority over everything. Over all the physical creation and over all humanity and all the nations and all the people. He has authority over it. Which means that nothing will be allowed to happen that will interfere with His plan. Nothing. Oh, He didn't want that to happen. A lot of things He permits. Some things He directs. Permissive will, directive will. In the ancient world, He would raise up one kingdom to destroy a corrupt kingdom. And so He uses nations to spank nations. He's the God of history. He's the ultimate force behind history. Not Satan, not the Illuminati, not whoever they are. But this verse says, the Lord has opened His armory and brought forth the weapons of His indignation. Do you see it? Weapons of indignation. God is ticked off with the cosmos and America. For it is the work of the Lord God of hosts. Host means the Lord God of armies. There's angelic armies and there's human armies at any time through history. In the land of the Chaldeans. Well, the Chaldeans were the founders of the Babylonian Empire. They were the racial stock. They were the primary racial stock that founded the Babylonian Empire. But they were never wiped out in a fiery holocaust. Now, were they? No, all ancient history, they fell more or less quietly, without very much damage, to the next great empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. Ancient history, which I had in high school back in South Dakota, I enjoyed the heck out of it. Today, there's just like a, I don't know, do they even teach it? Is it worth teaching anymore? Ancient history? Just the basics? Here's the big empires, here's this. So the average person, kid today, he's never heard of the Medes and the Persians. Maybe he's heard of the Roman Empire. Maybe he's heard of Alexander the Great. But they don't have any context, any connection with any of this. So many people today. It's not considered necessary. No, it is necessary. Know where you came from. Where things came from. How history came down the line. It's not just some dull subject for a few eggheads. But they can't talk about this. They don't know it. The one empire, the sixth, is of course the famous Roman Empire, into which Jesus was born. And the early church started up. The Roman Empire. It will have a revival. And that's all that stuff in Europe right now, that NATO bunch. I'm going to be so curious to see how this all works out so the Antichrist can come over there and take control over all these different European nations and their military and be so successful so quick, almost like overnight. And what other developments will occur up to that point. There's been calls for, we need to develop, to counter Russia, we need to develop a European army made up of the French, the Germans, and the Italians, and the Spaniards, and whatever. We need to make an Italian. We need to make an army for Europe. Well, there's going to be one. It's going to develop. Anyway, back to where we were at. Now, I'm going to Abraham's reward. When I got off topic. Abraham's reward for the near sacrifice of his son was high praise from Yahweh and the reiteration of the covenant with a divine oath. Did you hear me? Reiterate the covenant and do it with an oath. God swearing. People take oaths. They take wedding oaths. They take oath before a courtroom that they're going to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I don't know if they say it exactly like that anymore, but that's the idea. Do you swear? Many people have taken oaths. Do you swear to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States as you're being appointed into this office of whatever? Yes. And then they don't. Then they don't. How could they be? But that's another subject. I'll shut up. It's another topic. You know what they become then? Traitors. You're going to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? One Roman said, the worst enemies aren't those that are out there on the outside flying their flags. It's the ones within us are the worst. They're the cancer on the inside that betrays the Republic or the whatever it is. So God takes an oath. Well, usually, like in a courtroom, who do you swear by? Back in the day, I don't know if they do it anymore. Someone can tell me. I haven't been in a court and haven't seen a thing for a long time. They put their hand on a Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you, God. I do. Take your seat. That's taking an oath. And you take the oath by the greater thing. What's the greater thing? By God or the Bible? Okay? That's the greater thing. You're swearing based on your integrity that you're going to report when questions are asked the truth as you know it. You're not going to take away from it, and you're not going to lie. You're not going to add to it. If you don't know, then you just say you don't know. That's an oath. Do you swear to love and cherish blah, blah, blah? An oath. A marriage ceremony. Okay? Till death do us part. You know all that? Okay, that's an oath. What is God going to swear by? There's nothing greater than God, so he swears by himself. He swears by himself. We've seen that, and we see that elsewhere in the Bible, where God took an oath. So the oath is found here in our Genesis passage. He said, "By myself I have sworn, declares Yahweh, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son." Because you did that and you stepped up to the plate under this pressure and you took your son with the idea that you were going to do fatal bodily harm to him. And in your mind, as I said, when Abraham raised that knife, in his mind, Isaac was as good as dead. And another thing Abraham understood is the doctrine. See, doctrine's what gets you through stuff, not feel-good stuff, Bible doctrine. He knew in the back of his mind that Isaac would have to be raised back and put back perfectly, back intact. He knew that. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. Not Isaac too. As if they could have had another's Isaac. The only one Isaac. That he's the one. So Abraham knew that if he killed him, God would have to turn right around and bring him back to life and fix him up without even so much as a scar across his throat. That's where they cut animals' throats. They bleed them out. Okay? Because you've done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I'll greatly bless you. I'm going to open the floodgates of blessing on you, Abraham. And I will greatly multiply your seed beyond your lifetime, as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed, your descendant, shall possess the gate of their enemies. They're going to be victorious ultimately militarily. And then the great messianic promise. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's through Jesus Christ, the ultimate descendant of Abraham, of which Isaac was a type. Because you've obeyed my voice. And before we break, for our break today, I don't want this lost on you. I want to encourage you. There is no person, no matter how close you are to them, how much you love them, that you are to ever put above the Word of God. You got that? They don't come first. Your spouse, your kids, your whoever. You do not put them above the directive will of God for your life. If they want to go another direction, okay. I'll try to talk you out of it. Pray for you. But I'm going to act just like you and I acted when we were both in Bible class and everything was hunky-dory. I'm not budging. I'm not for family, for love, for money, you name it. You want me to put people, and for Abraham, no one was closer than Isaac. A lot of people have kids and they're close to them, but it's because of how it all came down. The miracle child. The grace child. So Abraham returned to his young men. Life goes on. And they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived in Beersheba. So, Abraham's next assignment, well, he took it on himself. God didn't tell him to do it. He just has doctrine. Isaac's passive. He's not actually out there chasing girls. And he isn't running around saying, I need a wife. He would sit there forever. He'd sit there forever. So I'm going to get a wife for Isaac. Where am I going to look? Where am I going to look? I can't look around here at these Canaanite girls. They don't have what it takes. It's got to be a believer. So he goes back to his relatives. You know the ones he separated from? Abraham doesn't go back. I'm not going back. He sends Eliezer on a mission. You go up there, find one of the young eligible ladies, and bring her back for Isaac. Going to get Isaac a bride. Drop it right in his lap. He doesn't have to go dating. He doesn't have to get on Facebook. Nothing. No stupid stuff. That's another story. These stories are all in the Bible for our edification and understanding. But if you sit here and you're not engaged, you know, it doesn't come across to you. Or you'll act like the cosmos out there. And you may succeed in a good marriage, blah, blah, blah. But it is one God sanctioned, and He blessed you and brought the person into your life without you having to even hardly raise a finger. That's another story. Let's take our break.